Twitchell Island lies in the middle of the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, and it's in trouble. Some inland areas are 25 feet below sea level. Levees prevent the waters of the San Joaquin River from rushing in. But at that low elevation, water still manages to seep through the soil. James Casey says that makes farming on Twitchell Island difficult.
Some of this land becomes so hard to farm because the water issues, it's too much to pump the water out. There's a cost right there with the district for pumping the water out. We have problems that we have to deepen ditches, and it gets so wet out there that you can't really farm it.
Tractors have been known to sink into the peat-rich soil. It's a soil that's great for crops, but highly susceptible to subsidence, a massive drop in elevation that's occurring on many of the Delta's islands. The further the land drops, the more difficult it becomes to farm and the more at risk it is to a levee breach and flooding. The peat also emits carbon dioxide, a greenhouse gas. But there's a way to capture those emissions and prevent subsidence at the same time. Farmers can grow wetlands.
The wetland is a carbon sink, and the Delta peat lands are a carbon source, a greenhouse gas source.
Brian Brock is an engineer with the California Department of Water Resources. He's standing in front of two fields. On the left is a restored wetland where tall grasses called tules grow in abundance.
To the right of us, we've got probably one of the deepest holes on Twitchell Island. The elevation is negative 22 feet below sea level.
Brock says the experiment proves that tules can reverse subsidence, and flooding soils stops microbes from breaking down carbon in the peat and sending it up into the atmosphere. Tules also suck up carbon in the air. That carbon storage could create a potential market.
We're hoping to prove the numeric values of that, which will allow us to sell carbon credits and allow other landowners, including farmers, to take their marginal lands and set that into carbon farming.
Farmers could sell credits to businesses trying to reduce their carbon footprint in California's cap and trade system. Getting farmers to grow tules might be difficult, but rice farming shows similar potential for sequestering carbon. Dennis Baldacci, a biometeorology professor at UC Berkeley, is trying to figure out just how much.
First of all, we're seeing huge year-to-year variability in how much carbon is sequestered. Because last year, the rice got in late, there was a short growing season, there wasn't much photosynthesis, there was weeds galore. And essentially, that whole system actually lost carbon to the atmosphere. This year, it looks beautiful. I'm really impressed. Looks the best ever.
Early estimates show growing tules or rice could remove 7 to 20 metric tons of greenhouse gas per acre per year. But researchers stress the numbers are very preliminary. James Casey says if he can farm crops and sequester carbon, it's a win-win for him, even if it might be difficult.
I think that if you manage it right, there's a way to do both. I'm hoping that we can leave this land a little bit better than what we got it, at least our generation. I don't want my kids to have to deal with it. If that means build the soil some other way, tules, and if that's the answer, then I would say that do it.
Dennis Baldacci says there's another crucial reason for this project to succeed at reversing subsidence. If the levees break, the resulting flood would shut down the state's water project.
This is my concern. We're the 7th or 8th largest economy in the world. This little sets of islands, if they burst, we're going to essentially shut down water for 20 million people and shut down this great, huge economy.
By 2017, the Department of Water Resources plans to restore about 4,000 acres of wetlands as a test for carbon farming. In Sacramento, I'm Amy Quinton.